What would national hunt racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice, because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along. We've made it to the final furlong. It is the From the Horse's Mouth. It's the final day of the Cheltenham Festival. My name is Patrick Kennelly, and I've been joined by Ruby Walsh, as I have been all week, and Rory DeLargy. Again, I'll be super transparent. We are recording 6:17 p.m. on Wednesday evening, so we've seen 2 days of action. We haven't seen the Thursday, but we know the declarations. We know the prices. I guess it's now time for a check-in, Rory. I guess the week, how's it gone? Has the week gone for you so far? I know 2 days in.
Yeah, obviously still waiting for the make or break bet, but Captain Guinness was an anti-post bet for me, and as part of that multiple bet with a few big price ones in the Grade One races that I still live in hope will cop for a few bob. So
what's left in that?
I've got Ahoy Senor and Flooring Porter tomorrow at big prices, and I've got Corak Rambler in the Gold Cup, and I've got Brighter Days ahead at 11-4 and 3-1 just as a shorty in there, because I'm hoping to get, you know, mostly I was hoping to hit a few places at big prices, but I thought if I can get a couple of winners in there, it'll be useful.
Thursday's a big day for you then.
Yes, indeed.
Thursday's a very big day for you. Ruby Walsh, I'm not gonna ask you about Ruby Mullins, because we've heard enough about Ruby Mullins. He's very good, but how's your punting been going, Ruby?
I'm not losing any, PK. That's always a good sign. Don't know if I got anything running like Rory has, but definitely not losing.
Not losing. He's still in the press room. Busy as ever is Ruby Walsh. That day one double. We're still living off it. Okay, let's get cracking on day four. Before we do, actually, a quick reminder, if you listen to this before, the Cheltenham Fan Zone in the Camden. I've been asked yet again to tell you about it. It will be on Friday in the Camden in Dublin. It will be full of the way the results are going, probably pretty happy punters, and can they get more odds on jollies up in those ACCAs? The place could be absolute carnage by Friday afternoon. And I think producer Mark is going to be there. Hell, if there's a reason to go, producer Mark will be there. He loves a selfie. Absolutely loves a selfie, does producer Mark. So that's one thing to watch out for. Paddy Power Racing YouTube, oodles of good stuff there. Again, a reminder that Brian Cooper Rewind Show really is excellent. It even got Rory DeLargy to retweet about it. Those are two things I remember I'm supposed to talk about. Right, the triumph. We are, as I said, are recording on Wednesday night. Sergino is the favourite as we record at 9-4, 3-1, one of the many Willie Mullins horses. Majbra, Kargizi, 6-1, Stormheart, 13-2. That's the pick of Paul Tennant. 8-1, Nürburgring, 9-1, Salvador Mundi, a very interesting runner for Willie Mullins on debut. I'm going to go straight to you, Ruby, because of all the Willie Mullins runners, high wind, bunting. I know you were keen on bunting last week when you're here in Power Tower, but Salvador Mundi, just a quick word on this horse, because he actually ran into Sergino, didn't he, in his last start?
Yeah, he did, but the fact that Paul has opted not to ride him, PK, that would be a bit of a negative for me. Brian Hayes does ride him. There's no negative in that, but not being the chase of Paul would concern me. I don't think there's much between Majbra, Cargese, Stormheart, and even Bunting. And I think Bunting is 20-1. I'm still siding with him each way. There's not a good jump between the four of them on their run at Depperstown the last day. And he's way bigger price than any of the others. So I'm siding with Bunting to get the job done. And Bunting's even longer than High Wind, who never jumped a hurdle in Leopardstown. I'm not sure who's done the pricing in Power Tower tonight, but they want to recheck it.
I think the trader's on the floor, to be fair, at this stage. Rory, your take on the Triumph Hurdle.
Yeah, I was with Carges, or Kargizi, however you want to say it. There's a town called Carges in Corsica, which is French bread, but it begins with K because of the naming conventions in France. So I thought it was liable to be Carges with a K, but you know, whatever. I was with her anti-post. I still quite like her. She's been in and out of the market. She keeps coming when Sergino's drifted. She's come into 5 or 6. Well, I think she's 6-1 with Paddy Power at the moment, but she's a lot bigger than that on the exchange. There seems to be a little bit of weakness in her at the moment. I'm perfectly happy with the angle I have there, but I would definitely have a saver tomorrow on Nürburgring, who's been a forgotten horse here. Didn't run in the spring juvenile, but run in the big race at Christmas and was carrying a penalty for winning. Was it a Punchestown before that, the Grade Two? So he's been kept on the sidelines since. I think that's probably been a long-term plan. We know perfectly well that that Joseph can lay one out for this race, and he can lay one out for the meeting, as he showed on Tuesday. So I thought Nürburgring was a little bit overpriced based on what he showed, given that the way that race panned out at Christmas, it was a slowly run race. The distance between runners was the opposite of exaggerated, you know what I mean? And I thought he ran a really good race under a penalty. So he's probably too big at a double figure price.
So Nürburgring goes in as your pick?
Yes. Yeah, but with a nod to the fact that I've already had a small interest in Courgette's Antipost.
So one's a town in Corsica, another a Formula One track in Germany. Right, okay, geographical theme. On to the county, oodles of extra places. Of course, there will be the 210 on Friday. Big handicap hurdle. King of Kingsfield, he's come in for support again. He's 9-2 favourite on Wednesday night. But guess who's been backed? D. Skelton, Load of Sud, after a double whammy of handicap wins on the Wednesday. 9-2 Load of Sud, 7-1 Absurd, 9-1 Bialystock, 10s the Pied Piper on debut for new owners, 11-1 Magical Zoe, and the other Skelton runner, Favoir, who ran last Saturday 12-1. Okay, Roy, I will go to you first. Load of Sud, 9-2. Now, he's pretty good at this handicapping his horses, isn't he, Skelton?
He is, yeah. Listen, there's a story there. Lotus Suit is the one I like best in this race, but the price is rather gone now, which spoils it. The fact that Favoir, who was my Antipost tip for this, went to the Imperial Cup instead, and Dan Skelton originally said he's not running in the County Hurdle, he's going to run in the Imperial instead because I've got Lotus Suit, which, you know, suggests that we know that Lotus Suit is better than Favoir. He should get the job done. Favoir now runs because he got beaten on nose on Saturday and, you know, they want a bit of revenge. But he doesn't have a history of running well turned out quickly. And if you're backing a horse that's running, you know, 5 days on from a really tough race, you want to know that they'll bounce back. And I'm not sure about Favoir, and he is ridden by a fairly inexperienced claimer in Tristan Durrell for a race of this nature. So much as I like Lotus Suit, I'm looking for a little bit of value against him. I don't much like the price at the moment, but it will drift. I'll have a little bit on Bialystock each way tomorrow. I think he's 9-1 at the moment, but he's trading around 16s on the exchange. And I think I don't think he'll be particularly popular tomorrow. But I had half a mind of putting up Magical Zoe here, but she's put up 7 pounds with the British handicapper for finishing second at Leopardstown last time out. And I thought that was harsh enough on balance. Whereas Bialystock, who was in the same race, was moving up menacingly. When he was brought down in that melee at the second last, he was only 2 or 3 lengths off the leader, having moved up from the back of the field. And he's been left alone on his mark, I think. Either left alone or put up 1 pound. So I thought that was fairly generous. I think Bialystock has shown that he's got what it takes to win a race of this nature. And I think you'll probably get 12 or 14-1 if you shop around tomorrow. You know, things will tighten up a little bit in the morning in terms of overrounds, and he makes a bit of appeal.
Won't be shopping around. You're just using Paddy Power.
Well, you know, shopping around. Yeah, I'll put a bit of pressure on Frank. That's what I mean.
You can go to a Paddy Power shop if you want. Right, Ruby, there's a few for Willie in this. In Absurd, Bialystock, and obviously Zenta and Westport Cove.
Yeah, plenty of runners and Riz Pell as well, PK. But Dan Skelton did tell us on Road to Cheltenham last week that he really fancied Load of Sud. So, hey, you got to listen to that. He told me he fancied Don't Expect a Party too, but I wish I had been listening, and I shall remember on Friday. Absurd, Bialystock, they're both fast horses. I'd be worried about both of them getting home in a county hurdle. I would prefer both at Punchestown or flatter, faster tracks than Cheltenham myself. What else have we got then? Zenta ran really well in last year's Triumph. She'd probably be the one for me. Riz Pell has underwhelmed. Westport Cove is a novice. He's a bit keen and a bit hot. He could blow it here in Cheltenham. So if you're pushing me for one of Willie's, I'd be going with Zenta. But I am at long last going to listen to Dan Skelton, and Load of Sud is the one for me.
That sounds like you missed a wedding, and I hope you're not going to go to the funeral, Ruby. Or...
Oh, sure, I probably am, but sure, look, it's nice to turn up anyway.
All right. Shake a few hands, yeah? Be seen to be seen. Good man, Ruby. Right, that's the county, Load of Sud, the water of the south for Ruby on the Skelton handicap train. On to the 250, the Albert Bartlett Grade 1. Reading Tommy Wrong, the 11-4 favourite for Willie at the moment on Wednesday night. 5-1 Dancing City also for Willie. Gidley Park for Harry Fry. He's gone here. He's 5-1. 6-1 Captain Teague for Paul Nichols, whose horses are running poor. At least they were the first couple Lays. High Class Hero, then Patrick Rides looking for another winner, 15-2 and 10s bar. With so many Willie Mullins runners, rather. I'm going to go back to you then, Ruby. Lots of unbeaten horses here in this race.
Plenty of those, but look, I would be reading Tommy Wrong, but I wouldn't take that as a compliment, PK, because I never managed to win an Albert Bartlett. Probably should have won in Boston Bob, but wouldn't have never won an Alma Bartlett, maybe because I went for the classy horse, and that's not what was required. But Regan Tommy Wrong is the classiest dancing city, was good at the Dublin Racing Festival. His bumper form, like, it sticks out now like an absolute sore thumb. He only split them with Gallagher and Supreme winners at Punchestown last year, Slay Steel and Ballyburn. Like, that is probably the strongest bit of form on offer in Cheltenham this week, that bumper run. Gidley Park, he looks a bit, a nice horse, looks a horse for the future. Captain Teague, as you said, the Nicholls horses are running so poorly. Tight Class Hero doesn't ever flatter you, but he keeps on winning. But this is by far the best race he's run in. And I'd say Lecky Watson is probably overpriced. I am definitely with Reading Tommy Wrong, but that bumper run, Punchestown last year, of Dancing Cities has to make you pay attention.
Yeah. That there's a bumper run that's been franked, as you said, with a couple of Cheltenham winners in it. Rory, I know you like Lecky Watson, don't you? He's a horse that you know is going to pop up at one of these days.
I do. Yeah, well, this is I put him forward for this race when we were talking about it a few weeks ago, and nothing's happened to change my mind. I wouldn't want to be taking single figures about him. You know, he's got it to do on the racings, and I was hoping that he'd be, you know, a bigger price. But then again, I thought it'd be a bigger field for this race. It's quite a small field for an Albert Bartlett, maybe the smallest we've seen in the race. But yeah, he's just not flashy. He gets the job done. He wears a hood for the first time, which should help him. He ran a really good race in the bumper last year, despite pulling really hard, finishing fourth. He's always looked like he wants a trip. He won over 2 miles 7. I don't, you know, if he pulls hard, he might struggle to get home in a really stiff 3 miles here, but hopefully he'll settle better in the hood. And yeah, he's just a really likable performer. And that's the kind of horse you want in this race. Horse with a fair bit of experience, who maybe isn't flashy, but gets the job done. And Lecky Watson, for all he's come up short in races over shorter, I think this kind of race will suit him, and hopefully give us a good run for our money.
All right, another win for Willie Mullins, this time with either Reading Tommy Wrong or Lecky Watson. On to the Gold Cup we go. 3:30, 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs in Galloping to Champ. There was a bit of weakness in his price last week. He begins to shorten up now, even money on Wednesday evening. 92 Fast or Slow, who can beat the Galloping to Champ, as we know. Jerry Calam 9-1, 12-1 L'Empresse, Brave Man's Game 14-1. He wasn't that far off Galloping to Champ last year. 14-1 Hewick, will the ground be soft or quick enough for him? And 16's Bar. Back to you, Rory, for the Gold Cup.
Yeah, well, I'm very much hoping that, I hope that I'll be waiting for Korak Rambler and a few bob in this race, to, if everything sort of lines up for me on Thursday. And as long as it's not too soft, now, we haven't really talked about what the ground's liable to be on Friday. Obviously, it was very wet coming into the meeting. It was a heavy ground on Tuesday, still very sticky on Wednesday, as Ruby suggested. There's a little bit of rain around on Thursday, but not absolutely huge amounts. The racing on fresh ground, obviously racing on the new course on Thursday, which is a new track, but then on Friday for the Gold Cup, this is the first time the full length of the full width of the course has opened up. So it's about 10 yards of fresh ground on the inner opened up for the Gold Cup. So it will be fresh ground. There's a question mark over a few of these if the ground was properly soft. But if it doesn't rain on the day, it should be good to soft. But, you know, not springy good to soft. Soft side of good, too soft, which will be fine for Cormac Rambler. He does need to improve a little bit here, but the fact that he's won the Ultima for the last 2 years on the old course, despite the fact that he's a thorough stayer, as he showed when winning the Grand National, suggests that the real test over 3.25 miles here will suit him, and his patient style will really suit him in terms of running into a place. I don't think he wins this race. I don't think Galloping to Champ is unbeatable, just because when you run races over 3.25 miles at Cheltenham, you've got a lot of fences to jump, a lot of things can go wrong, and it doesn't matter how good a horse you are, there's more chance of something happening outside your control. So I don't think he's unbeatable. He's clearly the horse to beat. But whatever does win this, I think there'll be a few dropping off the pace from the home turn, and that'll suit Cormac Rambler, who'll be running through them later on. Hopefully he can run through them to win. For me, but if he runs through to get third, I'll be happy.
Yeah, and there's always options, betting without, top three finish, top four finish, all those ways of playing. So Cormac Rambler to run a good race, however you interpret it. Okay, Ruby, let's talk Willie Mullins. Let's talk Galloping to Champ. Also in there, Monkfish. Oh, no, Monkfish. There'll be a few anti-post bets on him for the 2021 Gold Cup or something like that. They'll be going, what? He's won the 2024 one. Go on then.
Talk. Sure, an honourable bookmaker might honour
yeah,
him.
Sure.
But what do I think? I look... I've been with Galloping to Champ for a long time, PK. I think he's in great form. I like everything about him. He'll handle the ground. And I thought he was very good last year. and I don't see this as any better race. And I think he's the best horse. I'm feeling fast or slow would be the one to give him most to do, and he will most likely change him home. And my inner Rory DeLarge is coming out of me. I'm looking for the trifecta here in the Gold Cup, or the tricast, whichever one we're supposed to say. And I will be sticking in Cory Grambler and Jerry Calam. What way do they do that, Rory? That's not a perm, it's a what?
Yeah, you can say a perm, yeah, but it's definitely a tricast. We mustn't say trifecta.
So you want to put the tricast. You want to put the four horses into a tricast.
A combination. A perm, yeah.
Combination tricast. I only see...
Well, they could say box tricast, where you've got the favourites come first and the... you've got the first two, don't you? And then the other two for third.
I want Gallop and the Champ to be fast or slow, and then the other two are the horses that will finish third.
Yeah.
There you are now, PK. There's an education for you.
We need Jim McGrath from Nick Luck podcast about, you know, superfectas and all that sort of stuff in. Okay, so Gallop and the Champ to be fast or slow, and Jerry Calam or Cory Grambler third. Yeah? That's it? Try and figure that out there on paddypower.com. I'm sure there's a way of backing it. But anyway, Gallop and the Champ, fast or slow forecast. I'm just going to go that one for the screens anyway.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
So that's the Gold Cup. On to the race after the Gold Cup, which will forever be known as the Bloody Fox Hunters. But it's called something else. Right, it's on the line. I'm so old and crabby. 15-8 favourite, it's on the line, who's been tipped up heavily. Again, he's one of these horses who seems to have got a little bit faster now. He wears JP McManus colours. 15-8, 11-4, Fern's Lock. Billoway, the old nutcase at 6-1. Premier Magic, Masters winner, 13-2 for Bradley Gibbs. It's 9-1, Sam Crow. Oh, Sam Crow. I'd say a lot of people are going to look at their paper on Friday and go, what? Sam Crow? Okay, Rory, I'll go back to you for the
Sam Crow Monkfish double, that's what you want to do.
Yeah, that would be the olden days double. Go on then, give us the winner of the Fox Hunters, please.
I was up with my selection on this one. We talked about it a few weeks ago and nothing's really changed. Premier Magic has been a little bit under the radar here because there's been a lot of talk about which is the best of the Irish. And Premier Magic beats It's on the Line last year. Listen, I know he's a 12-year-old now, or 11-year-old, but he's... This race tends to go to older horses and horses who can hold their form, and Premier Magic's been very good. He bolted up over the same course and distance at the April meeting. He's won two point-to-points turning handstand since. He comes here in the form of his life. Listen, I understand that It's on the Line is liable to have improved and is a slightly more likely winner on paper than Premier Magic because he comes here as a 7-year-old. And obviously, you know, he was pretty raw last year. He should have improved enough. And he's done very well in the meantime, won all three races since the entry under rules. So he is the likeliest winner, I think, on paper. It's on the line. But Bradley Gibbs rode a very, very good race winning in Premier Magic last year. The conditions will be very similar again. So I don't see why he shouldn't run an absolute monster race once more.
Yes, fresh off his victories at Sheriff Hutton and Brocklesby Park. Go on, the Premier Magic. We love it.
You're convinced they're all made up, aren't you?
I am kind of. I love the British point-to-point track names. They're cracking. Ruby, your take on the Hunter Chase.
PK, I would be lying if I told you I had a massive take on the Hunter Chase. I'm doing well to keep up with the form of horses that don't have Hunter starts, let alone the ones that do. Probably It's on the Line, but that's only me guessing.
A guess from Ruby, but if it's a winning guess, we don't mind, Ruby, right? It's on the line. Emmett Mullins now has always trained, and he's looking for another winner this week.
Before we move on, and it's not nothing to do with what I think he'll win, but you'd love to see David Christie win the race, whether you backed one of his or not. He came on Ruby's show last week, and he spoke brilliantly.
I'm good if Vosley's not running, but Fern's Lock is there, and Ruby said it a few times. He may not win here, but watch out for him at Aintree because their version of the Fox Hunters is over that little bit shorter 2x5, isn't it? And that might be for him. He's good crack, isn't he? I heard him on the NLD Nightclub podcast. He was great fun on that. Okay, the misses, the big race on the Friday, the misses Paddy Paramaris Chase. Dino Blue is even money, 7-2 Limerick Lace, both for JP McManus. Allegory Devassi 4-1, Paul Townend on board. Brides Hill 8-1, Frank Kickey and Rory DeLarge tipped up Brides Hill anti-post. Am I right in saying? I know Frank did you as well, Rory?
Yeah, she was 25s, I think. Yeah, I put her up, yeah.
Yeah, when we were talking.
Kiki was after me.
Oh, yeah, well, obviously after you, sir. 8-1 now, Brides Hill. maybe she might prefer quicker. I don't know. But anyway, your thoughts now with the fresh set of decks.
I've absolutely no issue with Brideshill on the ground. She won well at Huntingdon on soft ground to confirm her place here. Listen, I think Dino Blue wins. You know, again, I was looking for a bit of each way value with Brideshill because I'm not a massive fan of Allegory Devassi in a battle. I thought she got out battled in this last year. Again, she should run well, but I don't particularly like her up the hill. She's got a fair chance of hitting the frame. And similarly, I'm more against Limerick Lace, who flashes the tail under pressure and doesn't always go through with it. In fairness, the pair of them might end up chasing home Dino Blue. But I think there's a wee bit of value in Brideshill for the forecast. But I don't think Dino Blue gets beat. I think she's a bit of a standout here.
Nice. A couple of mares you really strongly fancied. Ruby, are you going to add to that?
I would agree with Rory. Dino Blue does stand out a bit. The one thing is, though, is that Allegory Devassi has improved considerably on her last start. Does she stay? Doesn't she stay? I don't really know. But Allegory Devassi seems to be good, Nick. But Dino Blue looks to have rock solid form and she's going to be hard to beat, PK.
Okie doke. On to the final race of the Cheltenham Festival 2024. Nearly forgot the year. The Martin Pipe, as it always concludes, that was recently. Key to Bourbon. Ruby, you were in the booth last week and you tipped up Key to Bourbon. You said, I fancy him, but sure, look, he's not going to be going off at 3-1. He's still 3-1. 4-1 Waterford Whispers, another big talking horse of the previous circuit. Answer to Cave has been a big mover in the last 24 hours for Terence O'Brien at 7s. A No Ordinary Joe for Nicky Henderson, whether that runs or not. And Better Days Ahead also 7s and 50-2. But Key to Bourbon, look, I know you're not a fan of the price, Ruby, but is he the one for the race?
Is he the one? Look, we think he's in great form and there's the potential to be better than a handicapper, PK, but there's probably a few horses in here the same. Waterford Whispers, Answer to Cave is starting to be found in the market as well. Has been a potential novice who could be a graded horse. Better Days Ahead is the other one. They're the ones I would have thought. Oldcastle de Mott, I think he will improve with a step up and trip as well. There's no doubt about that. So at 11-1, he would be making appeal to me, but look, there's no value in Key to Bourbon, but you're hoping he's a little bit better than maybe a handicapper. And that's the kind of profile of horse that wins this race. Will he want to have plenty of those horses? Iroko is that kind of horse. You're looking for something that's potentially a bit better than a handicapper. And I think maybe Key to Bourbon could be.
Yeah, okay. You're not going off Key to Bourbon. That's fair enough. Rory, your take on the Martin Pipe?
Yeah, listen, I think Key to Bourbon could blow them away, but you're looking for a bit of value here. And I thought What's Up Darling in the same colours could run a big race. He's been keeping very good company. He was he's won in Grade 3 company in the four auction earlier in the season, and then was found out in the Royal Bond. But I thought his second last time out has maybe been overlooked as a piece of form because he was trying to give a stone to Henry de Bromhead's good mare, who was just beaten for third in the Mare's Hurdle on Thursday. Lantry Lady, isn't it? He was trying to give a stone to her in bad ground, and I thought he ran really well to be second. Now, the worry with that is it came reasonably soon, and it was the conditions at Goran were dreadful that day. But if it hasn't left a mark on him, and there is a bit more rain and the ground stays on the soft side, I'd certainly give him a chance under Conor Stone Walsh, who rode really well on Tuesday, rode harsh in the Fred Winter at a big price and steered that into fourth place for Joseph. So the What's Up Darling could run well here at bigger odds than the favourite is.
Excellent. What's Up Darling, Key to Bourbon, Jiggy are going to get their winner if they haven't already by then. That's Michael Leary's going to get his winner.
Well, they better have.
Oh yeah, Brighter's Head should have won by now. Right. Before I get to the naps, if you are enjoying these shows on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, which they are now available on, by the way, folks, please do subscribe to the channel because it's great. It's really, really good. That's probably one of the main reasons. And if you are listening to this as a podcast, we are now on YouTube, or at least some of these shows are anyway. So keep an eye out for that. It's time for day four naps, final day naps, folks. Let's go. Let's go with a winner. Ruby's unmuted himself.
Oh, I'm getting straight in, PK. It's Galloping the Champ. Just get stuck in.
Oh, I love it. Thank you very much, Ruby Walsh. He gets stuck in to Galloping the Champ. Rory, your nap of the day as Ruby says goodbye.
Well, I'm going to go in the Gold Cup, so I'm going to go each way on Corak Rambler, but I wouldn't put you off the old exotics with Galloping the Champ to win and Corak Rambler to be second or third.
Oh, it is getting warmer. We love a nice little exotic. We are thinking about exotic times, exotic temperatures. Right, Cork Rambler, whatever way you want to play him, top three, forecasts, all those sort of ways have gone. Ruby's gone up to the bar. So, Rory, I must say thank you very much for your time this week. It's been a pleasure. As we record, I don't know how many times I said it, Wednesday night, I wish you the most luck in your brighter days ahead endeavours on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
And your filthy each way ACCA as well, that one.
Particularly that, yeah.
Account closing ACCAs. But it's been great crack, Rory. You will be back next week looking ahead to the weekend action. I'll be back tomorrow though, because I'm a trooper. I'll be looking ahead to Youth Oxeter, the big meet of the week. There's probably some old weather action as well. We might be able to talk with me. I might just put in some flat action for Ryan McHugh. He won't like that. Myself, Ryan.
It's a good meeting, Youth Oxeter. It's a good punting meeting. So good luck with it.
And I believe I haven't looked at the, cause obviously no one's looked at Youth Oxeter yet. But when I do on Thursday, I believe Willie Mullins might have him for the Midlands National this year. Should have asked Ruby. Beck.
Yeah, well, we can't be having that. It's not allowed.
I'll send him a text. He'll get back to me in 2 weeks. Listen, thanks a million for your help this week, Rory. Always a pleasure. And
pleasure.
You'll be back next week. I'll be taking a wee break. Producer Mark will be at the Cheltenham Countdown, folks. Go meet him. Do you know what he loves? If you go up with your phone, ask for a selfie, he's guaranteed to give you a free pint. He will buy you a pint if you do that. So everyone go say hello to Producer Mark at the Cheltenham Fan Zone. He loves it. Absolutely loves it. Have a great weekend, folks. Thanks a million for everything during Cheltenham. Hope you're back to a few winners. The show goes on tomorrow.